the English Martial Arts Podcast Show.
The Havel radio station everyone loves.
I love them a lot.
Hello and welcome to the English Martial Arts Podcast Show. Now, this time we're going to go into a few things about the martial arts, and I want to start off with this. Now, I won't say it's new, but with the relatively recent explosion of mixed martial arts, and there are disagreements happening all over the martial arts community about what real martial arts are. And, I mean, some say only traditional martial arts should be counted as martial arts, those with weapons and unarmed. And there are those that say only those martial arts with a traditional philosophy should be counted as real martial arts. Well, the rest should all be sport fighting. But if you look at mixed martial arts and the way they train, I mean, it's no more irrelevant as a martial art than, say, karate or taekwondo. I mean, it doesn't matter what your stance is. Everyone can agree that framing martial art philosophies for a modern audience to understand them better is a positive step forward. Now, we'll just talk about traditional martial arts in this bit. I mean, because every traditional martial art has its set of tenets and philosophies. And these are there supposedly to guide the people who practice that martial art. I mean, for example, Taekwondo has courtesy, integrity, perseverance, self-control, and indomitable spirit as the five top facets of their martial art philosophy. I mean, these five philosophies guide Taekwondo people, the people who practice the martial art of Taekwondo. And they live by a philosophy that revolves around being kind and courteous to others, living life with high moral principles, and the will to keep fighting, discipline, mental strength, and fortitude. Now, these teachings have a lot of power when it comes to the students. And they, not to mention, they can aid in your martial arts training. They can be applied to other martial arts, including more modern martial arts. And then we have European martial arts, such as the English martial arts, as taught by Ancient Master Terry Brown. And the one thing about the European versus the Oriental martial arts is the way they look at them and approach them. Now, the philosophies we've just heard about for Taekwondo are all in European martial arts. But in the English martial arts in particular, you have a set of principles that allow the student to practice safely, fight safely, and to guide him on his way when training. And these principles govern all things in the English martial arts, such as speed of movement, how slow people can move when doing certain things. And as a philosophy, it works 100%. Many people wouldn't call it a philosophy. They would call it a set of scientific principles, which it is. Now, the philosophy that the European martial arts followed was Christianity. And that has its own set of guidelines, moral guidelines, etc. Now, whatever philosophy it is that is in your martial art, now, whatever philosophy it is that you follow within your martial art, it will always be relevant. And not just for the martial art itself, but for daily life. Now, the culture created by your martial art starts with the teacher and then trickles down to instructors and then students. And to create a culture based on the martial philosophy of your school, you have to guide your instructors and your students towards making sure each class touches on the philosophies. But as I could say, any decent martial art will touch upon them anyway as part of the training in the classes. Obviously, European martial arts and English martial arts in particular touches upon the principles every single lesson. And the Oriental martial arts that I've done touch upon philosophy during lessons as well. You know, so there's no real difficulty in spreading the philosophy. It's just how you do it. Now, in the old days, martial artists and the teachers and that, you could discipline people for going against the tenets of your philosophies. But these days, you can't do that. You have to guide people and guide them so that their minds change and it to what we call the martial mind. Because without the martial mind, the philosophy as well as the actual martial art itself means nothing. It just becomes a dance with or without weapons. Now, when you put together the training, the philosophy, and the martial mind, you have what's called a complete martial artist. They know right from wrong. They know what to do in any given situation. And they train hard, which is the ideal student, really. There are not many of them about, but there are quite a few. So what you need to do, especially when you teach in your classes, you need to lay down the three fundamental things of martial training. The training, the philosophy, and the martial mind. And without all these three together, you will not get a martial artist. You may get a competitor, but you will not have a martial artist. Okay, now let's talk about certain aspects of training, reality training. Now, we have reality point training in our martial art, where we will have a lesson on the reality of what it is to be attacked properly, full scale, 100% people steaming into you. And it's good, but it's a good bit of training. And reality point training is something that I think a lot of martial arts schools should do, because it actually brings you to a point where you can understand the reality of a violent encounter. Now, if your job deals with violence anyway, such as a doorman, bodyguard, policeman, you know, army, anything really, you'll already know this, because hopefully your training has taught you this. And the thing about reality training with weapons is that it teaches you a lot about yourself, not just about the weapon coming at you or the person wielding that weapon. Now, there have been videos on YouTube that say this is why we don't use full contact when sparring with quarterstaffs, which is complete tosh, really, because the thing about being properly trained, and I say properly trained, is that you have a huge amount of control at your end when using a staff. So you can spar full contact and you can spar fast with weapons like quarterstaffs and polearms. It's just that people aren't trained properly or well enough to be able to do that. And then they set themselves up as instructors and the quality goes down from there. You know, it's a ridiculous situation. The same as you can train full contact with cudgels, you know, knives, not real knives, training knives, etc. You can practically train full contact with any weapon or weapon substitute as long as you're trained properly. I mean, I wouldn't take any notice of those videos on YouTube that say you can't if your teacher teaches you properly. Obviously, I'm not responsible for your behaviour and what you do and what you say, but, you know, you should actually be trying to look at your martial art in a realistic way rather than just as a street self-defence art or some archaic art from a long time ago. You should be looking at your martial art as it was looked upon in the days when it was in use. Another thing about a lot of martial artists today and their teachers, they talk well. They come from a background with good educations. They've learned to speak well. So they're very convincing in what they say and tell people. But that's not how to choose an instructor. The way to choose a martial arts instructor is to go along to the class, see what they're doing, and then talk to them afterwards and see what their philosophy is about their art and their martial art. Because otherwise, how are you going to know? You can't just look and see someone perform. Now, we have, the English Martial Arts have a YouTube channel, and we show clips of what we do. Well, I don't expect people to actually watch that and think, oh, that's great, let's go and do that, without coming to the class, trying a class out, talking to me about things, and, you know, etc. Because just by going on what you see, because you can be deceived by what you see, and especially what people talk to you about, especially on things like YouTube and podcasts. The practical way to do it is to go along to the class, talk to the teacher and maybe the instructors, and try a class out. Obviously, it's for free. You're not going to charge you for just trying out a class, and then see what you feel. But especially talk to the teacher about his philosophy for his martial arts and his students. Because if he's a reality-based instructor, then that should be the philosophy. If he's a competition-based instructor, then that should be the philosophy. You've got to be able to go to these lessons and walk away with something new every time. You know, something new. It doesn't have to be technique, but something new. Something you've learnt that impacts you, that allows you to take away from the martial art something that's going to benefit you. Okay, and thank you for taking the time to listen to the English Martial Arts Podcast Show, and hopefully you'll tune in for the next episode. Thank you and goodbye.
Listen to us, because we listen to you.